us. Pray, Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight. Lord, we pray right now that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened as we study the Holy Scriptures rightly divided. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And we thank you for this opportunity, my Lord and Savior. We thank you right now. And we pray right now that if someone is listening and they heard me speak those words, the gospel of their salvation, and that is that Jesus Christ died and that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, if they put their faith in the gospel, in that finished work at Calvary's cross, they are saved. Not only saved, they are sealed unto the day of redemption. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, tonight, we're going to get right into our lesson here. We've been talking about, we've been using scriptures. We need to pray in accordance to what, to God's will in the midst of suffering. And we need to know how to pray. I'll use one scripture. We've got many. We got Ephesians 1. You can read those 15 through 23, where Paul talks his prayer. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And I always want to read that Ephesians 3, where Paul says in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. I want you to understand that in the inner man. And that verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And Philippians 1, 9 through 11, if you read that, this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and all judgment, that you may prove the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And you can read Colossians 1, 9 through 10. My brothers and sisters, 9 through 10, you read Colossians 1, 9 through 10 and 2 Thessalonians. These are Paul, model prayers that the Apostle Paul laid out for us. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12 says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this call and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we still been talking about the sufferings also of this present time, but we must know how to pray, my brothers and sisters, and what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11, what we talked about last week. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The tranquilizing ministry of the Word of God, prayer, and Holy Spirit, it only works by faith. I want you to know that. It only works by faith, putting your total trust in what God said, taking God at his word. As Hebrew 4:12 declares, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Because God's word is able to pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, it can effectually produce rest for our inner man, in our soul and spirit. It can successfully buffer the spirit from the soul's reaction to adversity. And having done so, it enables the spirit to be occupied with such things as the truth of what is going on, with the divine viewpoint, with what God values and esteems and the like. Hence, such a spirit of faith is able to objectively look at the situation, and we see it as God does, and confidently say, We can say, return until thou rest, O my soul. We suffer the effects of sin. This includes body aches, pains, and illness. And if the Lord tarries, we all will experience physical death as well. Lost and saved people alike suffer the effect of sin. No modern day miracle healing will rescue us from sickness, old age, and death. This does not mean that we do not do the best we can with what we have. We should visit doctors and take medications. I went to see my primary care today, my brothers and sisters, and we went over a lot of things, talking about some of the other doctors that I go and see, my brothers and sisters, and we talked about what's going on with me, my checkups and everything that's been going around as I've been going around to see my other doctors, my brothers and sisters. But our main concern is the renewal of the inner man, soul. We need to be constantly reminding ourselves of God's truth by reading and studying God's word, the Bible, right and divided on a daily basis. Paul said, we are not sheep. We remember that from last week. But more than conquerors through Christ by the gospel of grace, Romans 8:36. Paul quotes Psalm 44:22. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul quotes this Psalms as an example of the sheep response to perils. Help. This is also a response of many Christians who do not understand the truth of being more than a conqueror through Christ. They feel like helpless sheep, and the only thing that can be done is to cry out for God to intervene and put a stop to their perils or to their hurt, to their situation that they just don't know how to deal with. They cry out to God to put a stop to the anxiousness and the worry that they're going through. This is not Paul's lesson. There is something more for us. More than conquerors, Paul does not quote Psalm 44 to describe us. It's that example of what we are not. In Romans 8:37, he said, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. After Paul asked us, who can separate us? And quote the sheepish cry of the psalmist, he responds with a single word that silences the sheepish. He said, nay, in Romans 8:37. Nay means no, for those who don't know. Paul said we are not sheep going to the slaughter. Under grace, God has no promise to prevent tribulation, distress, persecution, or peril against those who are saved. This can be intimidating and lonely if we're not for the knowledge that through Christ, God is for us. Romans 8:31, knowing that we have not been promised a shepherd's intervention can make us feel sheepish. Although we may be at times weak like sheep, we are not sheep. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 9 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We have strength in weakness by virtue of the gospel being by God's grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. God's grace is sufficient, my brothers and sisters. Let me say that. Not to remove us from the peril or whatever the situation is, but to strengthen us through it. Christians are not sheep. They do not conquer. We are more than conquerors, because even in death, we cannot be separated from salvation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Romans 8:38-39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present. Let me stop right now and say, enjoy life in Christ. Enjoy life in Christ, no matter what life may throw at you. You hear what I just read? Nothing can separate us. Nor things, he said, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul was sent to open the eyes of the blind. This eye-opening doctrine of the revelation of the mystery and the dispensation of the grace of God is what Christ sent Paul to preach among the Gentiles, Ephesians 3:2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, Paul, to you, Ephesians 3:2, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Acts 26:18, Paul prayed without ceasing for the Ephesians that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, would be open to the dispensation of the gospel God delivered to him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1:18, this mystery of Christ, Ephesians 3:4, concerns the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27, in heaven for anyone who believes the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20:24, unto salvation. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery, the secret, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, 25-27, if you read that, many people and churches are filled with confusion about what is the true gospel and what the Bible teaches and for whom. This doctrine confusion is the result of devilish doctrines of false teachers who do not recognize or esteem the mystery of Christ revealed to Paul, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. 2 Timothy 2:7. The gospel of the grace of God is a light to the religious blind. The truth of what God is doing today should be eye-opening. It should make the things of God very clear. If the gospel you have been taught has been dragging you through the confusion of religion and the frustration of self-justification, then you don't understand the glorious truth that Christ can make you free of all that by the true gospel. If your Bible is a closed book to your understanding, then your eyes have not been enlightened to understand what God has revealed in the mystery of Christ. God's tranquilizing ministry by the word of God tells us in Romans 8, 22-23, he said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. All creation, oh, folks understand this, is under the curse. Verse 23 says that not only creation, but us also. Whatever the curse brought to creation happened to us too. We see creation degenerating, becoming disorganized. We will suffer as fallen creation suffers, waiting for the redemption. Paul also says in 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comfort us, this is our words tonight. This is the tranquilizing ministry of the word of God. When you're going through the sufferings of the present time, when you're suffering for Christ's sake, this is the tranquilizing ministry of the word of God to us. 2 Corinthians 1:4, he says, who comfort us in all tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Here, of course, the Apostle Paul refers to believers. Our Heavenly Father knows that we are frail creatures of dust, overwhelmed with sorrow, sickness, and even death, not to mention the spiritual upheavals that come our way. Always sympathetic to our plight, God is. He walks with us every step of life's journey, comforting us in all our tribulations, no matter what we're going through. The tribulation cited here by the Apostle Paul is not a reference to the tribulation period known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Paul is speaking of the personal tribulations he had encountered due to spiritual conflicts and poor health. Personal trials come in all forms: criticism, rejection, financial setbacks, sickness, bereavement. When sorrow overwhelms us like an ocean tide, the Lord in his goodness is always present to comfort us in our time of need. But you got to have faith in God's word, my brothers and sisters. But exactly how does God comfort us in the dispensation of grace? Through God's word and prayer, we can comfort those who are suffering. And we are there at just the right moment to encourage those in the times of despair. Folks are hurting today. Saints are hurting in the body of Christ. They need comfort. If you got doctrine on the inside, you can comfort them. If you're walking by faith and not by sight, you can comfort them. If you know that God's grace is sufficient, you can comfort them. My brothers and sisters, through God's word and prayer, we can comfort those who are suffering, and we can be there at just the right moment. Surely we have a precedent for this in the life of Paul himself. The intensity of the spiritual warfare at Ephesus and Macedonia had taken its toll on the apostle, both physically and spiritually. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, 5-7, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled, there you go, on every side, with doubt, with fightings, within, with fears. Nevertheless, God, look what he says, that comforted those that are cast down. He said, God comforted us by the coming of Titus. You so talked about that just a few minutes ago. When you got that doctrine in you, you can be right there at the right moment for saints when they're going through and they just feel like getting ready to throw the towel in. But if you got doctrine on the inside of you, you show up at the right moment. My brothers and sisters, Paul says, comforted us by the coming of Titus more. Nevertheless, God did comfort those that are cast down. He said, comfort us by the coming of Titus. 2 Corinthians 7:6. The arrival of Titus was encouraging to Paul, and that he might lend assistance in the work. Finally, God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but rather that we might comfort others. It has been given to us to carry on a ministry of encouragement to those who are in any trouble. My brothers and sisters, if you've been in the ministry for 10, 15, 20 years, I got to say tonight, you ought to be able to comfort somebody. You ought to be able to give them some encouraging words. You ought to be able to come up alongside of them and tell them about God's words, about God's tranquilizing ministry of the word of God and his prayer and the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. You ought to be able to come up alongside of them and encourage them. My brothers and sisters, God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but rather that we might comfort others. You see what he says, 2 Corinthians 1:4? Let me go back again. Who comfort us in all trouble, that we may be able to comfort them which are in the trouble. Do you see that? by the comfort wherein we also are comforted. When we comforted them with the word of God, guess what? It's also comforted us. While we listening to those words going out to them, that doctrine, guess what? That doctrine is also helping our inner man. You see how that work? Two for one. Huh? You sharing it with someone, but while you sharing it with them, guess what? Not only are you getting enlightened, you getting edified also. Not only are they getting enlightened and edified, you are also getting enlightened and edified. Not only are they getting encouraged, you are also getting encouraged by the word of God. My brothers and sisters, the arrival of Titus was to encourage Paul. Now, God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but rather that we might comfort us. It has been given to us to carry on a ministry of encouragement to those who are in trouble. Think of it, having already been the recipients of God's consolation, he uses us to put our arms around that dear Christian friend who's dealing with all the sufferings of this present time, who's dealing with all the circumstances, and they just don't know how to deal with it. They're anxious, they're worried, they're nervous, they just don't know what to do. God uses us to come up alongside of with the tranquilizing ministry of the word of God to encourage, to help enlighten them, to be a comfort to them. My, he uses us to put our arms around the dear saints, dear Christian friend who is dealing with all the sufferings of the present time. My brothers and sisters, with hope we can face anything. That's why God has revealed to us the blessed hope that one day soon we shall be with him. Truly, he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Do you understand that? Here are some more tranquilizers. Or should I say rest for our inner man? 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Look at this right here, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but do our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Look what he says. For our light affliction. Oh, this is what Pastor Jennings was talking about yesterday, the other Sunday there, when we caught what he was saying and what he was teaching on. My brothers and sisters, he said, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Whatever you're going through, those things, without your trials and tribulations, those things are temporary. Stop looking at them and look at the big picture. Those things are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All those spiritual blessings in heavenly places are eternal, my brothers and sisters. Do you know that God's grace is sufficient? That's eternal. That's God's word. My brothers and sisters, it's going to stay, my brothers and sisters. Our light afflictions here in earth works for us a far and exceeding eternal weight of glory. My brothers and sisters, you want some more tranquilizing ministry of the word of God? Romans 8, 17 through 18. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, then we also glorified together, be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Our afflictions here is light, but for a moment compared to what the glory would be like. We need to go through our circumstances in this life in grace, allowing God to work through us. Romans, you want some more tranquilizing ministry of the word of God? Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work at patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We are not just to rejoice in the glory that would be someday, but we are to rejoice in the tribulations that we suffer now. Tribulations works patience. You want some more? You want patience? Go through some more tribulations. Go through some more trials in this old life. Patience works experience. God is looking for people with experience to fill the positions in heaven. Our job is to manifest his grace and suffering in the dispensation of grace. Suffering equals eternal glory. Manifesting God's grace, suffering also bring about spiritual maturity. Because when you trust God, when you go through your sufferings of the present time, when you go through your difficulties, when you go through your trials and tribulations, and you see how God strengthens you in your inner man, when you come out of that and you believe it by faith, guess what? When you come through it again, you look at it and you scrub it off like your shoulder, like you tap, like you're knocking dandruff off out of your hair, off your shoulder. You look at it like, huh, God's grace is sufficient. You shake it off like it ain't nothing. You look at it and you say, you know what? Oh, just life showing up. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. You look at it and you shake it off. My brothers and sisters, you look at it and you say, yay, oh, I know. I already know. Life is showing up. The enemy's trying to get at me. Hey, all kind of things coming my way. But I already know that, yea, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I already know that. So guess what? You can't derail me. You can't get me off track. You can't get me off focus. My brothers and sisters, suffering also brings about spiritual maturity. God takes our suffering and works together for our eternal glory. What we experience now, our light affliction, is nothing compared to what we will have in eternal glory. Suffering produces eternal glory. You want some more tranquilizing ministry of the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:9-13. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bond. But the Word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You want some more? Philippians 1:27-30 says, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be after, I may hear of your affairs, that ye may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it's given. Look at this now. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. I hope folks really read this right now. Verse 29. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Do you see that? Verse 30, having the same conflict when ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. No one likes to think of suffering as a gift of God. Often people use the circumstance around them as a means of determining whether or not God is pleased with them. Too often people think that if their things are going well, then God must be pleased with them. And if things are not going well, then it must mean that God is trying to get their attention or is punishing them for something they had done. We are given an opportunity to suffer for Christ's sake. Our attitude towards suffering is not something that we have to endure, but rather that we should look forward to the opportunity to suffer for Christ's sake. Let me say this, and that is, in order for us to receive the comfort and the peace from God's word, we must have faith. When we do not believe what God's word says, then we do not act in accordance with it. Unbelief will cause disobedience, and both are sins. Our faith is not always reliable, but there is faith that is far, far greater than our faith. If God said it, we can believe it. Thus, This is the faith of Jesus Christ. It never wavers and fails. It is Jesus Christ living his life in us and his faith working in us. We are living by the faith of God the Son, brothers and sisters. We are living by the faith of the Son, God the Son. Now, how do we have access to God? We can pray to God because of the faith in him, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:12. Read what Paul writes to believers in Philippi, a city in present-day Greece. Consider Philippians 3:8 through 11. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not have my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his suffering, being made conformant to his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection again. Again, whose faith? It's the faith of Christ. Our faith is weak, and sometimes we doubt, sometimes we do not believe God's word, but the Lord Jesus Christ had faith in God's word. We understand that Jesus was fully God and fully man. As God, he came to shed his perfect blood. As man, he came to do the will of God the Father. The will of his Father was the Old Testament prophecy regarding him. It is God the Son's faith, his obedience to go through all the suffering, to die the death of the cross, and his resurrection that saves us. Observe what the Bible says in Philippians 2:5-8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Calvary was Christ's faith. He went through all that horrific pain because this is what God the Father demanded. It was the only way mankind could be redeemed. God the Son did not disappoint God the Father. Everything the Father demanded, the Son was obedient. Christ was faithful. It was his faith that brought about Calvary. Take God at his word, my brothers and sisters, and put your total faith and trust in him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity tonight. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters,